Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
In Loop Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, I'm Reginald Atatula. Hey man, ESPN put out a list of the top 100, and buddy, there's a lot of top 100 type lists floating around this time of year. It is kind of list season of sorts, but it is fun. Right, this one, the NFL experts put together a top 100 list. How many Texans do you believe are on this list? 713-572-4610. I'm interested in what we might learn about the way that this team is viewed, particularly at the top end, from this kind of thing. And so, Lopez, Figgy, let's start here. How many Texans do you think in general should be in the top 100 players in the NFL?
I think there should be more than this, but I think some players still have something to prove to these quote-unquote experts. So I'm going to say five.
Okay.
I think CJ, Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, Stephon, maybe four.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe four.
Locks it down to four. And he gave us the idea of the four that you think you are.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, Tunsil, five.
Okay, back to five.
Yeah, five, right. five. But I think players like Derek Stingley probably didn't get the love that they wanted. Maybe players, I'm looking at the roster now, so I don't want to miss anybody, like Tank Dell. Or Nico, either one, maybe could be on the list, but didn't get the love that they probably deserved. I think five, but maybe they'll more deserve to be on there.
Okay, Fig, is there are you with Lopez here on five or?
Yeah, I was thinking five. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say six.
Okay,
I'm gonna say six.
All right, let's go through this and try and see it out. Right, so. Yeah. Clearly, the best player on this roster is, you?
C.J. Stroud.
Tunsil.
You go Tunsil.
I'm going to go Tunsil. Okay. It's the highest rated.
Well, the highest ranked is indeed C.J. Stroud.
Okay.
I don't know if that's quarterback bias, but he comes in 15th.
Okay, that's real good.
That sounds fair.
That's real good.
Yeah.
And just worth noting, the fifth quarterback on this list after...
Mahomes,
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow... are the four quarterbacks.
I think that's more than fair.
And so it looks like at least ESPN's NFL folks are very high on C.J. Stroud headed. And, of course, some of this is like player predictions.
Projection.
If you project that forward, I think that there's a – I don't know that there's very many people that don't view him in that high tier, because we were kind of talking about the QB tiers that Mike Sando put together yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was more in the vein of, you know, what have we seen, and especially with the executives around the league, what have we seen – he needs to prove it. I think the expectation is he has the team and he has the capability of proving it this year to where viewing him as a top five quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I think that's excellent, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you want to see him be like a potential MVP, he has to be that level of player. All right, so Stroud is on there. That's one. Who would you say is the second best player on this team?
I think Figgy's got it. I think it's Tunsil.
Yeah, Tunsil?
Yeah.
The second highest rated player is not Tunsil.
Oh, wow.
It is the man that came in the same draft as C.J. Stroud. Will Anderson already getting a lot of love here.
Okay, so this is... Okay, well, maybe...
So it might be about six.
Maybe Derek Stingley is in it. Yeah. Because they are actually projecting like what they're going to be this coming season, not just what they've done, you know? But that's... That's actually kind of high. If I'm being fair,
I was going to say that's kind of wild. I would put Stingley up.
Yeah, if
high.
I'm being fair, they really are giving Will Anderson a lot of love. More, not that he doesn't deserve to be in the top 100.
Yeah.
But where does he fall?
31st.
That's high.
And
that's high.
They're projecting that he has 8 sacks this season.
Okay.
Right. Like
okay.
I think the idea that he bulked up a little bit, right? To be able to play a little bit faster, think less as he gets a little more comfortable in the system.
I'm liking this list.
Yeah, right? Like
you always like the list that benefit you.
Right. And right now, I mean, the idea that Will Anderson Jr. is getting this much love as an edge rusher, obviously a valuable position is one of those things to also consider. But there's a lot of love for Will Anderson Jr. And I mean, the biggest thing is he going to start out on the field to start the season, to give himself the opportunity to accumulate those stats. But, I mean, obviously, the play itself needs to be up there as well because, you know, the defensive line is going to be important. And I also wonder how much is the expectation that Danielle Hunter is going to be across from him.
That has to factor in.
Will also help him.
Also interesting that he's
effective.
Higher than Danielle Hunter.
That is true.
That's crazy, Figgy. I didn't even think of that. I was thinking about Tunsil.
Yeah.
But only by so much. Danielle Hunter is the next man up on this list.
Yeah.
Ranked 39th.
That's 8 spots.
Yeah.
So Neil Hunter had 16 and a half sacks last year?
Yeah. So how many players is that so far?
It's three.
That
three.
Is three players. Okay. Stroud at 15, Anderson at 31, and Danielle Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
At 39. A lot of love for your pass rush in general.
You're darn right.
And it, I mean, it should be, man. This yeah. is this is going to be a pretty scary pass rush. I think if you're looking at concerns about the defensive line, it's more interior, is it not? Especially with Denico Autry suspended for the first six. So that's where it gets interesting. You don't have to go very far until you get the next Texan, literally the next spot.
Okay.
Ranked 40th, Laremy Tunsil.
That would be Laremy Tunsil.
Okay.
So, wow. I think there's a little bit of a surprise there with Will Anderson. I'm liking it. And I hope they're right. And I'm guessing these are all, you don't have to go into it, but I'm guessing these are all, you know, NFL experts, former players, scouts that did it.
Sound like some experts to me.
Yeah, ESPN's NFL. Yeah, definitely some experts. They love the Texans, hey, it seems like. And one of the things, talk about the signature stat, Tunsil's pass block win rate, 98.1%, like over the last two seasons. Yeah. Ninth amongst all players who lined up in offensive tackle. Like, I've been very good in pass blocking situations. It's the reason why he gets paid the big bucks, and it's the reason why he's so well-respected. So, yeah, Tunsil, and of course the big clause that ends up in the write-up is, if he stays healthy and the Texans' offense is rolling, C.J. Stroud has an opportunity to really do something special and possibly get an MVP. So that's four.
Okay.
That's four. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because that is a man at 40, right? You have four in the top 40. The high end of this roster, there's a lot of love for. You have to go for a little while. All the way to position 85 to get the next player. Who do you think the next player is?
I'm going to say either Diggs or Stingley.
I'm going to say Diggs.
It is Diggs.
Yeah.
Diggs. Stephon Diggs. Coming off of what is widely regarded as a down year. Obviously, there was a little bit of different usage towards the back end of the season in Buffalo, right? Once you have the different coordinators step in, and they almost use him a little bit more as a decoy than as an actual, like, receiver that you're trying to get the ball to.
Yeah.
But look, man, it's been clear that he's still wide receiver one, or has that capability. And what, I don't know, do you even feel the need to have a 1-2-3 designation on this wide receiving core?
I mean, for our purposes, it's cool. It's fun. I think a lot of NFL observers will say, just as a description, like, he's their number one wide receiver. I feel like he is. I've felt like he is since they acquired him. I thought it was kind of silly that any other discussion was made, not disrespecting Nico or Tank, but he had done the most and he's proved the most. And I think, you know, I'd be curious, you know, how many wide receivers are ahead of him at 85, because I don't even know if that's available. But I think that just being there tells you what these NFL experts who do this for a living for ESPN really feel about his skills.
Yeah, and I'll have to get that number for you, because I did not keep that readily accessible, but I absolutely should have, because that would be an interesting designation. But yeah, Diggs still, you know, at least a top 100 player, but it seems like, you know, people have some questions after that last season, and I don't know how much personality type things end up kind of factoring into that designation as well. That's five.
Yeah.
There is a sixth player.
I was getting that feeling.
Derek Stingley is a top 100 player, according to ESPN.
Okay.
Ranked 99th, right? And I'll give you the write-up. Stingley's ball skills have risen to another level during training camp, which we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Four interceptions. Each one has been either running the route for the receiver or snatching a 50-50 ball. Defensive coordinator Matt Burke said Stingley is, quote, one of the best ball corners in the league. In 2024, there's a chance the third overall pick from 2022 could be a top three corner, projected to have 64 tackles, 3 interceptions, and maybe
that sounds about right too, because he's gonna they might pick on him here and there, but not very often.
I'll be interested to see. Like, I think maybe the bigger pat on the back, or a testament to what he's become, not just as a player, but then in the minds of opponents throughout the course of the season, is not necessarily going to be his interception numbers. But just, I kind of want to see how often teams throw at him, or I guess for in a better sense, don't throw at him, right?
Yeah.
Opt to go elsewhere because simply he's over on that side.
Look, I this is going to sound very self-serving, very kind of like biased toward the Texans, but I don't mean it that way. I think it's very fair what they're doing. They're projecting guys that clearly were on the upswing last year, or clearly are in a place in their careers where you can expect them to be better. Will Anderson, I still say, was a little high, but they're basically looking at this and saying, you got Danielle Hunter on the other side. You got a dude that was really, you know, really improved by the end of the year, started to develop some pass rushing moves, which we saw probably starting about week 13, week 14. So they're actually, the projection is very good. Now, I would be, you know, curious as well, like, who would be the next receiver? It'd have to be Nico, right? Let's say they ranked him at 110 or something, you know, 115. But I think Tank Dell might be a candidate for, like, if you're looking, if you're really projecting for next year's top 100, I mean, Tank Dell might be on that list as well.
Yeah, I think that he's an interesting one. I wonder, I think Nico Collins is probably
next.
Probably next. Yeah. I think he profiled, although, like, we're getting more more insight into, like, the way, different ways that wide receivers can impact the game, and, you know, not necessarily as beholden to the more traditional outside wide receiver, X receiver, as you'd call them.
Yeah.
I think we're getting away from that being viewed as, like, the prototype for all, you know, all best wide receivers. And we're showing love for, you know, the slot receivers or the guys that can make things happen in different ways, I guess non-traditional, for lack of a better term. And just to let you know, Stephon Diggs is the 19th wide receiver on this.
Okay.
On the list.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wonder, like, would, yeah, Nico Collins, in my estimation, would be the next. But I think Tank Dell has, he plays such a style where he's real lovable.
Yeah.
And so.
And I think he scores.
He sure does.
I think he's going to score a lot of touchdowns.
Let me ask y'all this. Would y'all be surprised if Tank or Nico was on this 100 list, like this one, if they made it between the 90s, I guess?
If they had made this one,
would you be like, ah, that's a little too high? Or
I wouldn't have expected it, to be honest. Maybe Nico. Right, because based on the numbers.
The crazy thing is, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine. I think the list is right.
Mm-hmm.
But if they made it, like, between the 90s,
yeah,
I would have been like, okay.
Yeah. I won't say I would have been surprised, but I would have been surprised if both of them.
Yeah, not both.
I think it would be one or the other, probably Nico. I feel
like they say a lot, too, man.
Oh, it says an awful lot. See, you have to realize, we are viewing this top 100 in the entire NFL. What is there, over 2,000 players in the NFL? I mean, that's an elite, elite list, you know, to be in the top 100. And we're looking at it with very Houston-centric, you know, goggles on.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like, what about our guys? What about these guys that we follow every day? So that's a big number to have six. And then to be able to discuss, like, someone like a Tank Dell or a Nico or some other players.
Yeah, damn near 1,700 players if you just go on, like, what's happening on the 53-man rosters there. And in the top 100, they're sliding six. Then you have three on either side of the football, right? Yeah. When you talk about Stroud, Diggs, and Tunsil on offense, Stingley, Hunter, Anderson on defense. And really, the only, like, pretty much every level of what you're talking about here, Joe Mixon does not make an appearance. I do find that to be interesting.
I forgot about him.
Right. Like, because I'm thinking, breaking it down that way, offensively, he's going to be very vital to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I do wonder how much of that is just, like, value on a running back in general, right? Like, how many running backs ultimately make this list as well. But, yeah, man, what do you take away from that? The idea that not just do you have six guys up there, but defensive line, pass rush in particular, you have a guy out at cornerback that is viewed incredibly highly.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, quarterback, your left tackle, like, those are two important pieces in your passing game. And then, of course, when you ride
wide receivers. What do I take away from it is it's kind of uncharted territory for the Texans to have six and be able to argue others, you know, on top of the six. It kind of how we started the show today. I said, let's not bury the lead. This is a squad.
It's a good team, man.
This is a squad, man. I mean, you look at how we can parse out all the little stuff, and we will, you know, in terms of, like, you know, moves they could make, you know, why do they have five running, et cetera. But this is a really good squad that is balanced on both sides of the ball, you know, and not just balanced on both sides of the ball, but has key elements. Like, how many coaches will tell you, you got to have a quarterback, and you got to rush the quarterback.
Those check and check.
Yes.
Right?
Check and check. That's the thing. They have key elements of winning football here. Two guys on the top 100 that rush the quarterback, and a quarterback in the top 15.
And top 50, top 40 when you talk about rushing the quarterback.
Yeah. So it's big time. I'm also kind of thinking, all right, 1 year from now, what discussion are we going to be having? Is Stephon Diggs? I think Stephon Diggs is going to have a good year, but is he going to be ahead of Nico or Tank?
Or is he even going to be on this team?
Or is he even going to be on this team or on the list? but either way. And then, like, linemen, it takes years of service, years of work to get that.
To build that reputation.
Yeah, to build that reputation. So I'm not going to say too much about the offensive linemen. I don't know. But I think if we get healthy, Christian Harris might be on that list.
Yeah, Christian Harris is an interesting one, and the 832 mentions that name. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like, I'm just really interested, once he gets healthy, once he makes his debut, how that looks. Because, again, one of the benefits and one of the reasons why we think that Will Anderson got a little bit of an additional bump all the way to 31 was he's going to be paired with Danielle Hunter. He's going to have that. I mean, Azeez Al-Shaair is a great linebacker to pair Christian Harris with and make that, you know, give him the opportunity to really reach the fullest extent of his capabilities.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing, is that all these guys that are listed here, they have good complements, right? Stingley is going to have Lassiter across from him, mm-hmm. who seems like, I mean, for a rookie, he is, you know, as prepared as a rookie can possibly be to step into that role and handle it well, right? We mentioned Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Tunsil, I think offensive line-wise, that offensive line, as you mentioned, another year together, all these guys have been in the system. Like, that should help that congeal. And then we know what's happening with Diggs and the wide receivers, right? We know what that looks like with that group. It already looks like that's going to be explosive. Man, the top end of this roster, widely praised,
mm-hmm.
and there also looks like they're really well positioned to go out and produce in a high level.
That's
this
what
season.
I'm talking about. You can have a top 100 left tackle, but if you don't have a quarterback and you don't have, you know, the weapons, okay, cool. But they've got the left tackle, the quarterback. Probably the two most important positions, on the offense. They got two pass rushers on the top 100, and a cornerback. I mean, they've got the guys that can get it done.
Right, and so as much nitpicking as we're going to do building a 53-man roster, like as D'Amico Ryan said earlier today in his availability, I like where we're at. But he left it with this, right? The idea that no matter with all of that, ultimately, you got to go out there and produce, and that's what remains now that they've built the roster, and I guess there's still potential that they add depth or what have you, as Nick Cassero was mentioning, but it starts with Indianapolis, right? Week one. Like, now you have to go and get the wins and produce on that level, and I think that at the very least what we can say is that they position themselves with a team that's capable of giving them the opportunity to go do that. All right, man. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's get some lunchtime confessions. We'll do that.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
All right, this is I'm doing this knowing with my eyes wide open, at my own risk.
Okay.
At my own peril.
All right.
As they say, okay? So, Sean Pendergast, as we're transferring shows here, doing the old toss and all that, he says, hey, and he's walking out the door, we need to do a bet for Saturday. Notre Dame, his alma mater, is playing Texas A&M, my alma mater. I said, cool, let's do it. I don't have an idea. Sean says, I don't have an idea either. So, every time we do this and we go public with our listeners and say, hey, what should the bet be?
Y'all gonna cut off a pinky?
Dude,
you should get a tattoo on your face.
Of your face, slightly to the left.
I mean, our listeners, I mean, what are you expecting here? It's a ball game. It's a bet on a game. And every time I say, hey, let's go to the listeners. Let's see what they think the bet should be. Yeah, cut off your pinky with an axe.
Just a little too big.
Yeah. Get a neck tattoo. Shave your head. Now, if it was a big bet, I wouldn't be necessarily averse to that. But I'm asking this, and that's my confession. I do it with much, you know, trepidation, much regret. But I am going to ask our listeners on the YouTube stream, on Twitch, 713-572-4610, on the text board, what should the A&M Notre Dame bet be between Sean and I?
Well, I mean, the first thing I thought, and I don't know if it's going to be a good suggestion, but, you know, you just kind of throw things out
until you find
a good one. I am staring at a football helmet right now. Mm-hmm. Like, would doing a show on a football helmet be, like, sufficient enough, especially if it's, like, maybe the football helmet of the opposing team?
Oh, we got to get a Notre Dame and an A&M helmet, or an A&M helmet. The whole show?
Yeah.
With the face mask?
Right.
I actually don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't mind it.
Does that feel like that's good enough, though? Like, that's the thing, is I don't know. Does that... All right, yeah, we got people wilding. People are bringing back the...
Like, come on now.
People are, like, dipping...
Put your boys in the hot coffee like we did with Nick... No!
Locked in a Waffle House for 24 hours. It feels just a little much. Yeah.
What about just doing a show in the wig? Just put on, like...
I don't mind that one either.
Some type of mullet type of wig.
Yeah.
And just do the show in the wig.
A mullet wig.
Yeah.
Don't mind it. I'm going to write some of these down.
And I'm looking at it now. I'm thinking, like, man, that would be hilarious. Yes. Seeing Sean in a wig or you in a wig. Full-blown wig.
Okay, so I got do the show in a helmet.
Yeah,
I
feel like it's mildly uncomfortable. And especially if we can get the
And it's going to be out
helmet.
There on YouTube.
Exactly. Now we got pictures of you holding
mullet wig.
Is it too much if I say, like, a pink mullet or
I don't mind
a
that.
Green mullet? Something like
I don't
that.
Mind that.
Like, what
some
does he care at that brain. Point?
See, that's the whole the whole spirit of these
kinds. Yeah, no, some people be like, nah, I ain't doing that.
Dude, they do it every time.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, you gotta get the Jeff Van Gundy haircut. No. No.
Loser.
Like, let's be reasonable here, but enough embarrassment or whatever, you know.
What about the let's say the Bart Simpson challenge where you gotta wear the same outfit for a whole week?
Ooh.
I don't mind that one. See, now we're talking. Figgy's good at this.
Yeah, Figgy is good at it. I feel like we need to christen him.
I'm trying to think of some stuff that won't have a lifetime effect.
Yeah,
that
Bart Simpson challenge. I got those three down.
Text line's coming in. Now we're just ending up with, like, hey, man, $100 plus loser wears winning team apparel on Monday. Okay. Mm-hmm. 619 says a brisket versus whatever Sean makes. Although, does Sean cook?
Sean taquerias around us.
You know?
Sean's going to Uber Eats us some taquerias around us.
Taquerias around us.
That's right. That's right. Someone says Sean in a sombrero or Lopez in a WWE belt. How are you? Are you out on the wrestling? Is that what happened?
No, I don't mind it.
Or maybe you get to dress up like a wrestler.
Ooh,
maybe Hulk Hogan or
I'm gonna be Mil Máscaras. I'm gonna get the luchador mask. Yeah, I can do that.
Taquerias around us.
That's right. Oh, hot chip challenge. Oh yeah, those are not fun at all.
I'll tell you what, luchador mask isn't bad. I'm gonna put that on there.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, you got to do the whole show.
What was Sean had to dress up as? Like, you have to find something for him to dress up.
Fishing gear? Full fishing gear?
Full fishing gear. You're going to wear the... that's
got him dressing like Captain Mickey.
Tackle box in reel and all. I like what we're doing here.
Okay. Yes.
And then somebody went with the... I kind of like this, but I do wonder how far this goes. Mm-hmm. Loser has to do both shows.
Oh, hell no. I'm saying that.
Hell no.
Low budget. So you got to get up here at 5 in the morning.
Low budget. Been there, done that. Oh, man.
Okay. I like where we're starting.
I like
here.
That.
Yeah. But at least our listeners are complying. These are reasonable, good, fun.
You got to dye your hair white.
Yeah.
We missed it. Winner gets the Taquerias Arandas commercials.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, it's Taquerias Arandas.
Hell yes. Oh, man. Watch this.
These are my confessions. So, I'm not on TikTok because I know that it, like, saps your time. But I've found myself with Instagram, their reels, they've snuck into my life, and it's the same thing. And I'm like, damn it, it got me. But in doing that, what I found that I love that I did not think that I would love is the social media managers of these football teams and these teams doing the, like, questions as the players are coming to practice or leaving practice.
They do that here a lot. Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I love them. I didn't like, I thought I would, man, whatever.
I love them too.
I don't care. Like, you know, the social media engagement, whatever, but man, they're so damn entertaining because these players are so fun, man, especially for football players in a sport where we don't often get to tap into
their personality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a fun thing to see, like, these dudes who sometimes you'll forget are, like, mid to maybe late 20s, like, still pretty young, just having a ball with a silly question and hanging out with their guys and, like, doing, you know, kind of going back and forth. Those are the fun things. I'm really enjoying that of late while I'm wasting time.
In fact, I'm kind of glad Kurt Heinisch, you know, is still going to be in the building so he can keep kicking Toro's ass. Did you see that?
No.
Every day at practice during training camp, Toro would be there. And Heinisch would, like, punch him.
Hell yeah, brother.
Or kick him or push him to the ground. And then Toro had, like, a, you know, trying to make peace sign.
Yeah.
And
he
hit him with the sign or something.
Yeah. No, I actually like that they do that, man, because a lot of the times, the only time you hear from the players is at the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it's some boring ass questions that, you know, journalists have to ask because they got a job to do. But you never get the fun questions at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I like that they do that. Shoot, that's kind of what I want to do, to be honest. I want to be that person that's just asking them random stuff.
Yeah.
Like, do you put ranch or blue cheese or something? Just something that...
That one's going to be a landslide. Yeah. Who are the people that go up for blue cheese? Like, not I know that there are people that them.
The guy that's sitting right there, man. We yeah. Right.
I love
blue cheese. He's a serial killer, man.
I love blue cheese.
I threw a whole wing away.
Look at Reggie's face.
I know.
He's disgusted. Blue cheese is the best.
I think what I realize is I know that I have a history of like, and I've tried to tamp it down, being a little bit of a contrarian. I'm like, oh, okay, Lopez a contrarian too.
No, I just love blue cheese.
Right. Man, nah. I didn't throw a whole wing away. When
I never get ranch it was on blue wings. Always blue cheese.
Oh, my God.
Always.
Okay, good for you.
Good for you.
Yes. I mean, like more. It's more power to you, brother. It doesn't hurt me at all.
Man, let's be real. Blue cheese is awful.
It's. Did you say awesome? It's
awful.
Awesome. I heard awesome.
It's spoiled cheese. Watch this. These are my confessions. Man, I think I'm officially washed up, man.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, wow, it happened.
Hey, the Dallas Cowboys might as well sign me in the running back room, too.
Yeah, you can tote the rock
got,
a couple.
We got a lot in common. Because, so Sunday, one of my good friends, Kelsey, hit me up about a listening party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, cool, I'll go. And she sent me the flyer, and it said Monday night. I'm like, Monday night?
Yeah.
Monday night is a laundry night or something.
A listening party on a Monday night?
Yeah, ain't going to happen.
And she was like, yeah, make sure you get there early around 9 o'clock. I'm like, 9 o'clock?
In the morning, I'm guessing?
No, 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, I'm usually in the bed by 9 o'clock. And I went to this party. It was cool. It was a cool party. It was for rapper Erica Banks.
Yeah.
So I saw her do her thing, listen to a couple songs.
Wait,
but
hold on. Can we press pause?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, like, you know who Erica Banks is?
I know. I know more. Ask Figgy. I know more than you think. I know who they are.
Do you know who Erica Banks is, though?
I do know who Erica Banks is.
I have heard of Erica Banks. And
I can't tell you. I
ain't listening to her music.
Here's like where I draw the line. I mean, here's where I have to be honest. A lot of times I know the artist or I know what the song sounds like or I've heard it or whatever.
Okay.
But I don't. Yeah. I can't connect them.
All right.
Yeah. Unless we're talking 1999 to 2004.
I would say this. Yeah. I would say this. You, it won't be a bad thing if you don't know who this person is.
No, but I know the name, and I know most everything when it comes to 99 to 04.
Okay.
Excellent.
You know,
she's been out just for a couple years.
That was my wheelhouse. By the way, I like this one as a side note. Loser has to sing the opposing fight song on air.
I was hoping that you were looking at the 713 who said loser has to do the whole show shirtless.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen either.
Hey, I do not want that to happen.
By the way, just one more thing real quick on yours.
Yeah.
So I was at Coasters, this bar, this restaurant we go to down in Aransas Pass, and we were talking to this younger couple, and you know, we've known them. And they're like, yeah, we're going to go to Port Aransas, which you have to take the ferry to go to Port Aransas.
Okay.
Like, so first of all, it's a process. And we're going to go to this bar and have blah, blah, blah. I looked at my watch. It was like 9:30. And I said, when does this event start? They go 11:30. I was like,
No, that's how I felt, man.
And you got to ride a ferry to go over there to Port Aransas first? I said, y'all are in a different world than I live
in. That's exactly how I felt, man. I was sitting in there. I ain't have no drink. I had no food because I already ate. So I was just sitting there, sober as a dober, man, just sitting there.
You were showing faces what you were doing.
No, you know.
Like, hey, I am here for now.
Hey, you know you sober if you in a bar and you start getting cold.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, it's kind of cold in here, man.
So real. That's a great line.
Yeah, it was getting cold. I'm like, they got the AC up high.
Dude, they were getting started at 11:30.
Yeah.
Started. I was like, that's a different world, man. And those days are long gone.
Pursuant to your trying to find a bet or
equitable bet, yeah,
the stakes on your Notre Dame A&M bet between yourself and Sean Pendergast. I see so many people talking about loser has to shave their head, and we got to remember who we're talking about here. But Fig, how do you like this? Let's do the reverse shave head, which is loser has to get like a piece Not just like a toupee, but like, have you seen the people getting the fake waves?
Yeah.
Kind of your wig thing, but different.
Yeah, but like actually get the glue on and let's put some waves on them.
Yeah.
I think that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe get some lots, but that might be a little inappropriate.
Yeah, we might be going a little farther.
Well, I mean, especially on Tuesdays, I'm the only one here that doesn't have, you know, because B. Scott has the braids.
Yeah, man.
You both do. I might have to, you know, grow some out just to fit in on Tuesday.
All right. Just on Tuesdays, though.
Yeah, I'll grow it out on Tuesdays.
Okay, actually. Some confessions here. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk more about the Astros. Like, do we feel like we're seeing who the Astros truly are after a tough stretch to start the season and then a hot one in the middle of it? Is this who the Astros really are? We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
The ball hit well to left field, and all the way back is Dubon. That's a three-run home run. Nick Castellanos hits number 18 on the year and scores three with one swing to give the Phillies a 4-0 lead.
Unfortunately, it was that one kind of errant pitch from Verlander that kind of did it. That made it 4-0. Ultimately, 5-0 was the final for the Phillies last night in Philadelphia against your Astros. Aaron Nola clearly with the win, 7 innings. A pretty fine work, if I do say so myself. They'll be back at it again this afternoon, 3:05. But, I mean, really more than just this individual game, like, are we finding, or as you would say, is water finding level? Like, are we seeing what these Astros are truly going to be? Because I think that's a question that we need to get a handle on.
Mm-hmm.
As I think we're both fairly confident. We're not, I don't think we can both be in a place where we're absolutely confident, but we're fairly confident that this team will make sure to win the AL West and go to the postseason. But once you reach the postseason, the level of team that you are then matters. I think I saw, it might have been our guy Ocho on the text earlier today making mention that, you know, the last three seasons in a World Series team has won fewer than 90 games, right? Like, anybody can make it, right? It's all about making the dance. But then when you're in the dance, what type of team are you? How are you playing? And right now, the Astros are, you know, the pitching has been pretty solid. In fact, the bats haven't been going in the same way that you typically expect. And honestly, you could say that for most of the season with a lot of these players. Are we finding who the Astros actually are?
Yeah, that's. I think the answer to that question, you know, I was mentioning to you before the show, is water finding its level.
Yeah.
Now, clearly, you have to also recognize you get caught up in the moments in where you are in the most recent 10 or 12 games or whatever.
And it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, and it ain't great these last 10 or 12 games. It was awful at the beginning of the year. And then they got on this big swing where you're like, oh my gosh, these are the Astros. These are the Astros that can make, some big noise in the postseason. But I think the way to answer that question is water finding its level. Just be completely honest with yourself. How far do you think these Astros really can get? How far do you really think they can get? Because the expectation, and it was an expectation, was for the last, you know, 7 years, every year the expectation after 2017 was like, they can easily get to the ALCS. They can easily get there. Now, it doesn't always happen, but they can, and it did for them. But
seven straight, man.
It did for them, but it doesn't always happen that way. If a team that is easily capable of getting to the ALCS can get there, I think I'm at a position where, and I'm just trying to be completely, you know, as honest with myself as possible, I don't think they can get there. Would I be surprised if they do? No, because they have the Altuves and Yordans and Tucker might be back and, you know, who knows what you get out of Verlander. But if I'm being completely honest, they're clearly not as bad as they were at the beginning of the year. But I also don't think they're as good as we've seen in the last month and a half or so.
Well, okay. So I think that's the last part of that is absolutely very fair, right? Like, I don't think any team is exactly the hottest, or is that team that they were from the hottest part of the season, right? That's just not how averages work. The top end is not the everything. That's just the top end. And when we saw the top end of this Astros, that took them from being down 10 games in a division to leading it with a decent, with a pretty healthy margin. Yeah, I'm interested because you phrased it, or you termed it within a how far do you think that they can go, and you did not seem to have a lot of a lot of optimism necessarily in that way. I'm interested, what is the factors behind that? I don't want to call it lack of optimism because it feels like you're saying that the Astros are, you know, no good or what have you. I don't think that's quite what you're saying, but I do want to know what is keeping you from getting to that place where you go, where you're like the 979 on the text line who says all the way, right? Like they can go all the way.
Well, that's great optimism, and I hope you're right. We all hope you're right.
Absolutely.
But here's, you asked me, how did I land here?
Yeah.
I think I've landed here in the last week, not just because they're losing mostly, but I think we see what great contending teams look like. And the Phillies are flat out better than the Astros. That doesn't mean the Astros can't beat them in a series, you know, World Series if they get there. And they've faced them in a World Series, of course. That doesn't mean they can't beat them. I'm saying, like, if you're just, like, handicapping American League teams, let's stay there. Like, the Orioles, the Astros have had a lot of success against the Orioles this year. I think the Orioles are better. The Yankees, it makes me want to vomit to say this, but the Yankees are probably a better team, equipped. Doesn't mean that the Astros won't have their number again, but I'm just saying, like, we've seen the Astros here recently against really, really good teams, and they're just a tick below that. Right, Figgy? I mean, I don't know where you fall on this.
Yeah, so I'm kind of going off of faith here at this
faith
point.
Faith, for
like,
sure. Yeah.
Like, if you tell me to explain numbers-wise why the Astros are, you know, can reach the World Series, I probably couldn't make that argument against the other teams, but just knowing how well this team was the last 7 years and how they became from, I want to say one of the worst teams in the league this year, but how they started and where they are now.
At one point, it looked kind of like it.
Yeah, it just seemed like, I mean, I've been calling them the boogeyman for a long time. I just felt like once they get in it, then they can, I think they can roll with anybody, but it ain't no stats or facts to back that up.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm kind of at with it. If they get in, then I think they could be anybody.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that for me that I'm kind of up and down about in some ways is offensively, right? Like you have guys that you know that you know the names of, right? Obviously, Altuve, Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, hopefully when he eventually makes his return, Alex Bregman, guys that you know are supposed to be they're supposed to be the guys that anchor. They're supposed to be the guys that moor this team and really are the foundation of offensively what this does. Yainer Diaz is coming along in his own right in that space. We've talked about it, and we talked about it with Spo earlier today, Alan Spillane, the idea of they're also going to need to lean on, with as any team does as they you know grow and evolve, the new pieces that then come in.
Yes.
How are they then adding into what's being done? I don't know exactly what that looks like. And when I look at across the league in over the entirety of the season, OPS plus, and just kind of as a flat line look across the capabilities of this team sits right sandwiched between like the Twins and the Royals and the Brewers and the Red Sox when it comes to like that offensive capability. And the offense feels like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that feels like the part that needs to be the forward facing part of this team, the part that is leading. Yeah. The way that they go and, you know, make a deep run.
For sure. Altuve needs to play better. He needs to hit better. And that's always blasphemous to even think, much less say out loud. But I think he would tell you that. Tucker, who knows? You need him back. But I'm kind of with Figgy in that, like, I would not be surprised for them to all of a sudden in November we're talking and we're seeing them in the World Series.
Just hot in the right time.
Just because they have that boogeyman gene.
Yeah,
they've
been there before, and you still have people on the team like Altuve. You have people like Yordan and Verlander, for what it's worth, that been in the postseason before.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, once you get in the postseason, anything can happen.
Well, sure.
I'm just a little worried. Like, my worry was always, can they even get in?
Right.
Like, can they get in?
Well, also, like, none of us would be surprised, but I think also none of us would be surprised if, like, we don't even know the opponents yet, but every opponent they potentially play in the postseason, they're, like, on paper underdogs.
Yeah.
You know?
The Astros are underdogs to those teams.
But that doesn't mean they're going to lose that series. It just means, like, they're just, like I said, just a tick. They're just a tick below these top
teams. Even if they're not underdogs, them teams looking at it like, these Astros.
Exactly.
It's kind of like in NBA terms when, you're playing the Golden State Warriors and they did like six seed or something like that, but yeah. they still have their big three.
Sure.
It's just like, man, I don't care what seed they are. You still got Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Who can, you kind of wait on them to go on this run. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the Astros are. People still scared of them.
Yes.
I think a sub question within this is this who the Astros are is, are they going to get healthy, right? Because mm-hmm. who the Astros are, I guess, in the ideal would include Kyle Tucker being a large part of that, but he has been kind of up and down in that situation. Is there anyone else who I'm forgetting? Because it feels like
Presley should be back pretty soon.
Presley hopefully can be back tomorrow because when he went on IL, the 29th is August 29th, which is indeed tomorrow. The first day that he could be activated, and he's not going to need a rehab start. So in theory, he should and could be ready to go tomorrow. But yeah, I think those are the. But I think Kyle Tucker has been out, and that's. And when we talk about the foundational pieces, you know that you have to turn things over with any team in order to open up a dynasty or a window of something like that.
Yeah.
But that means that the guys that stay have to remain and be a big part of it. And right now, unfortunately, Tucker hasn't necessarily been that because of injuries. Is he going to be there, and is that going to be enough time to kind of have all of this gel together at a level that's high enough for them to go and be successful?
And this is, again, nobody would be surprised with this, but...
and then Bregman as well. I guess Bregman is the one that's
injury issue. That's what I was just going to say. They all have to get hot again at the same time. The studs, you know, they're the guys that have been there and done that because that's what's going to carry. That's what's going to carry some of these younger guys. And also, you know, pitching. This pitching staff... has never
been there.
Kikuchi, Arrighetti. I mean, you know, Hunter Brown's been there, but still, you know, relatively young.
Blanco.
I mean, like,
and Verlander. We were just having the discussion that this is when you talk about is this who this is. Verlander is the one that I feel more confident. Like, I think that we're getting close to this is Verlander now, right? Like five, maybe if he's going really well, six.
Verlander in this iteration,
yeah,
like this version of Verlander. You can deal with what he's doing right now. It's really fascinating, and it's also like, okay, be careful what you say because these are the Astros. Kind of what Figgy's talking about.
Hey, make me look stupid.
Make me look stupid because I just like I looked at that game last night and really the game before. They just didn't have that extra little something that the Phillies seem to have.
Right.
You know, but the Phillies, of course, are. A World Series contender, so we'll see.
And they're rolling right now, and they've got a good complement of those guys that we're talking about are supposed to be foundational. So it feels weird to leave this as I'm not entirely sure yet, but it feels like we're getting even more data in here, at least when we talk about also the young guys that are going to have to factor in. I think we're starting to filter in who are the guys that can be helpful for you, who are the guys that maybe not as seasoned to be able to be those supplements on the team. I think Shea Whitcomb absolutely can be a guy that can be a supplement on this team. I've been impressed with the small sample that we've gotten early.
Absolutely.
On this.
But again, another guy that's new to it all.
Yeah. And continuing through this 18 game and 18 day stretch, you got to get through the rest of the Philly series. You got to get through the Royals, who now just took the top of the AL Central. Like, you've got some real challenges that are continuing to give us data points on whether this Astros team, when their back is against the wall in this particular way, you know, are they capable of really rising up to the occasion with this current iteration? Because we know they've done it in the past, but what have you done for me lately is kind of the refrain in some ways.
Right.
All right, there you go. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610, coming up next. Let's circle back when it comes to the roster cutdown. What raised your eyebrows with the cutdown? What were the things that really caught your attention that you were a little bit, that you had some questions about?
Yeah.
713-572-4610, we'll do that next.